Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's been 5 days, and we still aren't properly calibrating exactly what Sankey and the SEC are pulling off here. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. How are y'all doing today? Where are y'all? Wherever it is. Mobile, what's up? Huntsville, Chattanooga, Lexington, Ocala, everywhere. Baton Rouge, what's up? Everybody, I appreciate it. Nine states. And I've been wrong. I found out about this last week, actually. I talked to our affiliate relations guy. Nine states. It's been 53 sticks. Who knew? I didn't know. Nine states, 53 sticks. So wherever it is you're listening, I appreciate you getting your college football conversation here each day. I don't fly the space shuttle. I just try to talk about a game I love. So I appreciate everybody coming in for a couple of hours. I said it's been 5 days since the hour and a half it took to go from a text message on my phone, quote, "Hey, I'm hearing crazy-ish out of the Big 12. That literally was my I was like, I don't know what they're referring to. Hour and a half later, oh, this is done. It'll be announced in a couple of weeks. And, of course, that was Oklahoma and Texas coming to the Southeastern Conference. And it went from crazy-ish, as it was put in a text to me, to 11th commandment, done. It's just about crossing and dotting in the space of about 90 minutes. Well, we're 5 days out from that, and I'm telling you, we still have not properly realized exactly what Greg Sankey and the Southeastern Conference are making happen while we speak. See, this is the proper perspective that I think could really crystallize just how gargantuan a move, because who's coming to the SEC? Barring this variable or that. Oklahoma and Texas, all right? The Texas Longhorns, University of Texas, Austin, Oklahoma, Norman. This would have been a nice land grab if it were Texas Christian and Oklahoma State. See, that's what's left out here. But it's not those schools. It's like the Paris Hilton version of those schools. Really pretty, and dad owns hotels. If you would have gotten Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, nice get, Southeastern Conference. And you would have rendered, at that point, you would have rendered the Big 12 to scramble mode, because they would have said, we better hurry quick. We need to replace these like brands. We just lost, let's say, TCU and Oklahoma State. All right, well, let's go get somebody. And they may look at the Pac-12 and go, hey, Colorado, you want back in? They may go to Nebraska. I don't know. Whoever they go to. They may go to Memphis. Whatever. Because we're trying to replace TCU and Oklahoma State. And we're going to throw around that weight. OU and Texas, we're going to spread that around like butter. Why? Because those are two monster brands. OU is actually, they complete it by being great on the field, too. It is cyclical. I get it. But when you're the Big 12 and you took a little dent in the fender, like, you got attacked. You had another conference take TCU and Oklahoma State. We're not going to stand for that, guys. Let's hold a meeting. All right, who's got friends? Who knows somebody that wants to join the Big 12, because we got to replace two of them? Well, we only had 10 to begin with. Hush up, you. We're not about branding here. It doesn't have to line up. If it was TCU and Oklahoma State, it would have been a nice get, and the Big 12 would have been able to pivot on the strength of OU and Texas still being the linchpins of that conference. It's not TCU. It's not Oklahoma State. And you know what it is? And we realize this now? Do you know another way to describe Texas and Oklahoma? The only two programs that gave the Big 12 any reason to exist. What is your conference without OU and Texas? It's the AAC. And that's who's... Bob Bowlesby, you got wolves at your door. They're looking in your window. They didn't care you see them. Hey, what's up in there? Ooh, Baylor. That'd be a nice addition to our conference. What conference? Any? And as I've said, Sankey and them, they ain't done yet. But we'll get back to that. 5 days out, and we still – he showed up and took the best you had. That's what Sankey has done. If you've ever wondered about how some either an individual, a conference, whatever, could pull off a power play like this, folks, the SEC doesn't have an exit fee. You know why? Greg Sankey, cold, doe-eyed killer, man. Drafting that playoff proposal that we were just talking about 3 weeks ago, he sat next to Bob Bowlesby for like 6 months. Shoulder to shoulder. How many different interactions with any number of officials at Texas A&M? And the whole time he's plotting with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. The entire – he's on his way out. Give him credit. Give Greg Sankey credit. You do not find many sensitive, compassionate men sitting on top of mountains. And that is what the SEC already was, and the distance is growing. Now, this is not to say – that, well, it's all perfect, and no, it's not perfect. And there are some just silly ideas that I have seen presented out there. Is it perfect? It depends on what your understanding of the goal is. The goal is to permanently and forever determine which conference is driving the TV bus and which conference, honestly, is going to drive the postseason bus. Because the big difference between adding TCU and Oklahoma State and the programs you did add, Oklahoma's going to the playoffs every year. I don't care how you pod them up or divide them into whatever you want to do. You didn't just add two teams. You just added a playoff team every year. And, hey, Texas, what's up? What about you? That's what you just added. You just put an end to it. I saw a good friend of mine, and I'm not calling him out. I'm just attributing. Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com. He was asking, given the research angle, you know, like Michigan is a research university. Given the academic bend of a lot of Big Ten programs, like the schools that they're attached to, because Michigan, giant brand. Well, Michigan's a great school. Really is. And that's kind of the Big Ten. They like to straddle both lines. The ACC used to want to posture themselves as just the end of the rainbow academically, and there are certainly some schools, Duke. And there's even that phrase, you know the phrase public Ivy? Like that's University of North Carolina. They view themselves as public Ivy. I think Virginia, they're public too, aren't they? Matt, check that. Oh, I'm getting the head bob right now. They're public. Public Ivy. There's public like Virginia. Then there's public like Virginia Tech. And there's public like NC State. So the ACC used to like to posture themselves as, well, we consider academics as well. We have Georgia Tech. Well, yeah, you do. And Georgia Tech did leave the SEC in 1963, 4? I'm embarrassed right now. I think it's 64. Georgia Tech left the SEC in part because, quote, y'all take this stuff too seriously. It just means more. So let me tell you what does not matter. Again, Pete Futak, good friend, College Football News. You know, if Texas is looking for a new conference, why aren't they looking at the Big Ten? Much better fit from an institution, academic, research standpoint, because that doesn't matter. The ACC let Louisville in. No, academics are not part of this. Anybody let West Virginia in. No, academics aren't part of this. And I'm uppity, sitting on high, looking down at anybody. I went to giant public state school myself, and I graduated. My school loved it, would not go back in time and land anywhere else. If you want an engineering degree, certainly the vet school, there are some places that my alma mater, top of the charts. And it's also not Tulane, Northwestern, or Wake Forest, and I know that. Vanderbilt? Bully for them. Good that you're in this conference and that you didn't make that decision in 64. I promise you right now, Georgia Tech, more than anything, wishes the Tulane. I don't know if Sewanee still has athletic teams. But Pete was questioning the academic fit. The academic fit is that they play football. That's the academic fit. And then there's the money fit, and then there's the brand fit, and there's the recruiting fit, and then there's the TV fit. There's a whole lot of fitting going on with Texas. Is it an academic fit? I don't know. Maybe let them sit beside. In fact, line up alphabetically. T-U-V. Texas and Vanderbilt. Y'all sit at the end of the table. Y'all talk about the new chemistry lab y'all are opening, the new engineering, whatever it is you want to do. Y'all sit down there and talk about that. Everybody else in the room is going to be talking about football and TV contracts.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
You've met kids that caught four passes and a touchdown, and they're the baddest thing since sliced bread.
Oh, did we win?
Yeah, that's right. When did you do it? In the fourth quarter when your team's down 20? Burks isn't that way. Burks, he just wants to get better. He wants to play. He loves to play the game. He loves Arkansas. He doesn't have this ego.
Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman, that was last Thursday in Birmingham, Hoover, Alabama, for SEC Media Days. And he's talking about Treylon Burks, who made my first team All-SEC ballot. Treylon Burks, this big, giant kid from Arkansas, just wrapped up his sophomore year, heading into his could-be a redshirt sophomore. This will be his last season playing college football, then he's going to go to the NFL, and he should, and I hope that kid gets paid. But I also asked about Trey Knox, and that was a kid that if you go back and look at his – and I've asked – we had Tara Talmadge on, who does a great job covering – Arkansas football with basically it's all the NBC affiliates in the state kind of throw in together, and they have it called Pick Trail Nation. And so I've asked her about that. I asked Sam Pittman about it. Anybody who covers Arkansas, I'm like, tell me that Trey Knox is going to come back and actually build on what he did as a freshman. And it was a year where, again, bad offensive line, spotty ground game. Boyd played more, but spotty ground game. And everything on offense is spotty. They're just a bad team. Coach gets fired, and he's putting up a decent enough season with – who was it? Was it Cole Kelly and, like, two other guys playing quarterback? And I could remember them. I'm not being disrespectful. I think Jerry Jones's grandson was one of them. But he caught 28 passes as a true freshman in the SEC. Folks, that's not nothing. He is a really talented receiver. Last year, it just never going to happen for him. And there were a lot of reasons for a lot of different athletes around, not just Arkansas or the SEC, but all of college football and all of sports.
But Treylon Burks went the other way because he was part of that class as well. If you go back, Chad Morris had some successes. Not nearly enough on the field related to the scoreboard. Not being snarky there, just being truthful. But he did have some successes, and one of them was being able to convince kids, especially wide receivers, I've got a record. If you come here, this is going, we're going to sling it, and you're going to have an opportunity, and I need a few of you. Well, I think into 2019, like the February 2019 recruiting class, Arkansas, I think they were the only program in America that signed four receivers, all of whom were four-star or higher. And Treylon Burks was one of those, and he had about as good a season as Trey Knox. And last year, doubling down. Really, really just physically overwhelming kid. And as Coach was saying, that Arkansas kid loves the program, no ego, going to go out there and bust his tail every single day. Appreciate Sam Pittman and all the coaches who joined us. I was actually talking with David, our engineer, before the program. And he's like, hey, you seen the podcast numbers? And I'm like, David, I don't know how to look at the podcast numbers. I know how to check scores. And he's like, well, okay, well, I checked the podcast numbers, and they are X, Y, Z. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's from media days in both places and a lot of the interviews. And he's like, yep, and here's this day, and here's this hour, and here's this interview, and blah, 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 blah. So everybody's enjoying it. So go to thepodcastpark.com, and you can create your own show. You can do whatever you want there. Chuck Oliver's show is there. You can bounce around to any day you want to. Go right to the interview. You get little tags on there. When you look at them, it says Sam Pittman interview, Nick Saban interview, Brian Harsin. It'll show you who's on. So just kind of move your mouse around over the actual podcast, and it'll show you who's talking if you want to go back and get any of the Media Days coverage from either location. There is a former five-star quarterback who is transferring, and I don't have one snarky thing to say about it. Have we seen that Tate Martell's tour is winding up? And it appears he's heading to UNLV. Now, Tate Martell, again, a former five-star recruit at quarterback from Bishop Gorman out there in Las Vegas, and that's sort of the original IMG. I've talked about that concept before, that private all-star team, and I think it's the same arrangement. They can't win a state title, but they can play whoever they want, which is why you get Bishop Gorman and IMG playing, especially a lot of early season matchups. They'll go and play like classics or showcase games where there's two or three games in a bigger stadium on the same day. So Tate Martell has decided to transfer, and it has been a bit of a tour. Like I said, I'm trying, I don't want to be disrespectful to him, but here is Tate Martell. In July of 2012, committed to Washington, then committed to Texas A&M, then committed to and signed with Ohio State, and then he didn't win the job, and then he didn't win the job, and then he realized, I didn't win the job, and I'm not going to because the new guy who shows up, so I'll find a new place. Moves to Miami, doesn't work, changes positions, still doesn't work, opts out COVID, blah, blah, blah. Reportedly, as of yesterday, Tate Martell is transferring to UNLV. Now, I told you that this goes back to July 25th, 2012. 9 years ago, he committed to Washington. Well, he was, I don't know, like an eighth grader. And so because of the COVID thing and that he had actually redshirted before, he has 2 years of eligibility left. Again, former five-star recruit at quarterback, there is no reason to beat that kid with a stick. He is trying to find his spot. And no place that he has left so far has been in the lurch because he bolted on any sort of program. And, well, we were counting on him. Mm-mm. He's been told so far, yeah, you're not going to get the job. And he keeps bouncing around looking for a place where he can get the job. He's not unlike a whole lot of other kids, folks.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, and that was certainly the case about halfway through media days when I thought we were already swimming around in the 12-foot waters. No. First couple of days, folks, that was just splashing around in the shallow end of the pool. And then Brent Zwerneman happened. Want to head out now to Houston, Texas. Guy who has, we've had him on before, and I've always said he does a great job covering college football. Brent from the Houston Chronicle, want to welcome you on, brother. How you doing?
Good, Chuck. Yeah, you know, I typically stick to covering Texas A&M, but it truly was college football last Wednesday, and I really didn't mean for that to happen. It was the day Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Mike Leach making his SEC Media Days debut, but I certainly wasn't going to ignore that news when it came down the pipe, too, you know, in terms of ideally I'd be hitting – well, the Big 12 already put out a statement, so, of course, I said I would – have hit send early this morning, and then we could fire up the dog days of summer and have plenty to talk about. But yeah, it didn't quite go that way, although it was handy to have Texas A&M right there on hand for an instant reaction, no doubt.
No, all right, I'm going to cut to the chase here. If you would have printed in the Chronicle a recipe to turn Cheerios into platinum, it wouldn't have gotten as much attention. Okay, this became and it's still the story a week later. Do you mind asking, or maybe going through, what was your personal timeline as far as finding out this story? Obviously not from whom or whatever else, but how did this come, like you start tapping keys and this is what shows up on the page?
Yeah, it all comes – this is a good lesson for young journalists out there, Chuck. It's essentially I was looking for, you know, story angles in mid-July, and essentially – I thought about, hey, that was 10 years ago this month that Bowen Lofton stepped out of an A&M Regents meeting and declared the Big 12 is in a state of uncertainty. I remember the way he even yep. said it and everything. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do a 10-year anniversary story on that declaration. It wasn't 10 years since the Aggies entered the SEC, but it was 10 years that they said that they were going to leave the Big 12 and explore other options. And we all knew that other option. There was one other option. It was called the SEC. So I started chasing down old contacts, people I hadn't talked to in years, ones I've kept in touch with from a distance, you know, and we're talking about movers and shakers from a decade ago and so forth. And essentially the story came about from that and of writing about that and, you know, the back and forth that resulted from it. And so the funniest part to me was this story broke on the 10-year anniversary to the day that Bowen Lofton had made that declaration about A&M that also tipped off conference realignment from at that point. There was no doubt, because that was my true introduction to Twitter, Chuck, was when Lofton said that, I go, okay, that sounds like a big deal. So I remember I plopped down on a bench in this Regents building and tweeted, Bowen Lofton says the Big 12 is in a state of uncertainty, and it caught fire. And from then on, you know, realignment was on, and 10 years to the day, realignment is back on in a big way, in a much bigger way. I mean, that was a big deal, but obviously this is a bigger deal.
If you can figure out how to spell it, you can follow him on Twitter at Brent Zwerneman. Just kind of sound it out. You'll get there. Again, at
there
Brent Zwerneman covers Texas A&M and more for the Houston Chronicle. So let's talk a little bit about that more. I have said that, you know, if you Google – college football super conference, nothing shows up declaring it has to be 16 teams. To me, there's always the possibility that Greg Sankey, I mean, I've said there ain't a lot of reasonable men sitting on top of mountains What's the chance he doesn't stop at 16? Or the conference doesn't?
It's crazy. That was my initial thought. And, you know, it's essentially what I was told from the beginning, too. Hey, SEC's trying to get to be the first 16-team super conference, and it would be four. And, of course, since that time, you see where there's the possibility that I could add another four and be at 20 teams, which, to me, it starts getting a little ridiculous when you think in those terms. I mean, 16 is more than enough, I would say. But my joke now is simply at some point here within a couple of years, it's going to be West versus East, 32 teams each, and then go from there. But hopefully that's a joke, because I would want it to top out at 16 teams, and I guess if you had the four super conferences or what have you. But yeah, I don't – the idea, and I was told this early on, that this was the first step, and then down the road, essentially the SEC would you know, be taking its steps to break away from the NCAA and be its own entity, which would lend credence to what you just said, adding even more teams, getting to 20, 24, and so forth, which I think would be nuts. But then I'm not in charge. I'm not sitting on that mountain either.
Oh, yeah, brother, this is Game of Thrones stuff. I mean, it's going four corners, four corners. Wrapping up, Renz Werneman from the Houston Chronicle. Well, let's talk about the Big 12, because, again, I am not a very learned man, but when you lose the two out of the 10 who were the linchpins, I mean, really the pinnings under the entire conference, this is the Southwest Conference all over again in my mind. I mean, the Big 12, there's not a lot of other realistic scenarios for me than disillusion and the remaining teams just get picked off by what other conferences are trying to buoy themselves. Am I being too presumptive there?
No, you're not, and you're right. It was 10 years ago in A&M and then Missouri, and before that, what, Nebraska and Colorado. When they exited, the other programs were just crossing their fingers and saying, please, Texas, please, Oklahoma, stay with us. If you stay with us, we can make this happen. And they did stay with them. They stayed with them for a decade. And so as long as you had those two, you were going to have a viable conference. Without those two, it would be really hard for the Big 12 at eight teams then. I mean, they would have to – if they're trying to be one of the super conferences, that means you're then adding eight. So who is that? And going back to what you just said about the Southwest Conference, I mean, I don't think it's SMU and Rice.
Memphis. I think Memphis and Cincinnati would be at the top. And you don't get to be a super conference by adding Memphis and Cincinnati.
Right, and yeah, and U of, you know, Houston. I'm from the Houston area, so I've always liked U of H and so forth. But you know, that's not going to add that punch that they would like. So I see it as, and this comes from nothing but just gut. But you know, obviously, if like say the Pac-12 came along and wanted to grab up those eight programs, and suddenly you're at 20 just like that from their side, and otherwise, it's going to be Baylor crossing its fingers, hoping to go to the ACC and so forth, TCU hoping to latch on somewhere and on down the line, Texas Tech. And I'm just speaking strictly, obviously, sure, from the Texas school, since that's my discipline. But 10 years ago, they really thought things were falling apart and they would be left, you know, whipping out in the wind. I'm speaking of Baylor in particular. They were threatening lawsuits against the Aggies, and obviously things have worked out for them. I mean, they just won the national title in basketball. So we'll see from there. But, yeah, I just don't – it would be really, really tough for the Big 12 to survive, you know, trying to strike out on its own with those eight remaining programs.
I want to confirm something, if you know, because, you know, like in, you know, I said this on Friday, that Vanderbilt gets the same check at the spring meetings as Bama, Florida, and LSU. In the SEC, Missouri gets the same as Georgia. My understanding had always been that OU and Texas had a supersized portion of the conference TV money, because it was actually broken down. All right, well, how many times are you on our national TV package? Is the TV money still diced up unevenly in the Big 12?
You know, I'm not sure on that front, but I do know that they realize that they're big. They're part of something much, much bigger in the SEC in terms of, you know, and yes, there has been that inequality with Texas and OU, with those two being the big dogs. And you even saw it from the Big 12 in the past few days saying, hey, we'll give you even more money. But that's not the idea long term. You know, they're all trying to position themselves for the best possible scenario. You know, and the SEC, of course, is looking out for itself and saying, hey, we had the chance to add these two traditional football powerhouses, and I know Texas hasn't been very good over the past decade, but they've certainly been, you know, had the pedigree over the past century and the money. So all those sides are looking out for themselves, and with the idea that OU and Texas also know that the SEC is a whole different ballgame when it comes to trying to run the show. I think they're aware of that, especially Texas, but I guess we'll find out in the coming years.
All right, last thing for you, and I got to admit, I cover college. 21 years I've been in radio, and I've been doing this show, like, nonstop college football for 7 years. I was asking about the Big 12 exit fee and was told it's guessed to be between $75 million and $80 million. I asked somebody in Birmingham the other day, or in Hoover, hey, what's the SEC exit fee? And the guy looked at me and was like, we don't have one. Is that not the biggest just like middle finger chest out to everybody in the college football world? You want to leave, leave.
Yeah, you want to leave, leave, and they know that there's not – that's not going to happen because people want to be a part of it and not leave it. And so, you know, that's been my impression. And yeah, so there's they don't even have to bother with something. That tells you everything you need to know, that the Big 12 has to put all these things in place to try to protect itself while the SEC is saying,
nah, we're good.
We don't want you, we don't want you, we don't want you. Hey, we might take you – those national championships you have and all those deep pockets. And yeah, and they certainly, someone like Vanderbilt is thrilled to be a part of the SEC and would not be contemplating leaving anytime soon.
Okay. Last thing, you know, a lot of folks with A&M obviously, but they realize what's been going on for the past year or so, and that they get one vote, but that's not really even having a vote, because this, if the SEC decides it's going to happen, the numbers dictate it's going to happen. Texas A&M is going to have to just kind of deal with this, correct?
Yeah, and they've come around in the sense that, you know, or even early on, I said on this first day, I said at some point, and we know how the SEC operates, and there's a lot of infighting behind closed doors, and then they come out with a united front. It would not surprise me, Chuck, for this to be a 14-0 vote. I said all along, at minimum, it'd be 13-1. Those other programs realize the value of adding that. Then do you say, do the Aggies abstain? But I don't think so. Lately, their message over the past 2 days has been, we welcome any newcomers, and if the SEC thinks they're good enough for the league, then they're good enough for us, and we look forward to playing them on the field of competition. So my guess would be, in the end, that's made public, 14-0 vote in favor of OU in Texas.
All right, let's have a bonfire. Brent, appreciate it as always, brother. Thank you so much.
You bet, Chuck. Okay, thank you much. We'll see you.
All right, Brent Zornemann again from the Houston Chronicle, and suddenly we get Texas and Texas A&M back on the schedule. That was always their own brand of nastiness. It becomes blood sport at that point, because remember, there have been – it's been a sliding scale of which school was willing to somewhat admit they were interested, but then the other one, oh, they're interested? Well, we're not. That sort of silly stuff, because it's just men involved for the most part. So now either like having female administrators would get a deal done, or going into a conference where the conference is going to tell you, all right, y'all two make nice enough because y'all are going to play every November. That is what is ahead. Appreciate Brent Zornemann again, Houston Chronicle, coming on. Good stuff there. We break, wrap up hour one next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Cover Show continuing on a Monday. And there is a lot of conversation now that it has been processed about the pending round. It's not proposed. It's pending now. Round of conference expansion and realignment. When I say it's pending, I can't tell you what is about to happen, but I know things are about to happen, various things. And so something is pending. I believe Texas and OU join the SEC is the first two pendings. And then we'll get some more pendings as far as the SEC goes. That's my, again, just what Chuck's thinking. And then there will be other conferences, you know, making their plans, and the remaining teams from the Big 12 will land wherever they do. And so a lot of the conversation about this has been finally, again, the huge nature of the changes has finally been processed, and a lot of the conversation has turned to, well, this is just a giant money grab from the SEC. Now, it's not just a giant money grab, but that is a large part of it. And what I want to ask is, and? Like, what are you in your own life to some degree? Why you would change jobs, why you would change the state you live in, why you would do what, why you chose what you were going to spend 4 years studying in college? It's a cash grab. Now, there are more elegant ways to describe it, and there are also times when, you know, like you choosing a college major didn't necessitate you kneecapping an entire conference. So, believe me, when I speak casually about this, I understand the full context, but we're all adults here, and there's a couple of things I know. One of them is the adult world gets to be a messy place when you really start looking at most involved parties. Oh, the SEC, that's just a cash grab. All right, well, let's shine a light on everything then. I ain't defending Greg Sankey. I'm not defending the SEC. I don't think there's anything to defend. Yeah, okay, I'll go ahead and say it. I wasn't going to. I was coin flipping this. And I'm just going to give you an example, okay? This is just one out of bazillions you can find that the pending conference realignment and expansion is just about the worst, greediest, most awful thing ever. I read The Athletic, and I've told you that. I have subscriptions, like paid subscriptions at two places. Chris Landry, The Athletic. Jeff Schultz is a writer who covers, among other things, college football at The Athletic. And he has an article up today, at least I read it this morning. And it goes through all manner of why this is evil and awful and bad and greedy, and a lot of it is factually accurate about maybe some of the numbers involved. And my point is, so if Texas and OU, because that's the flip side of it, decide to stay in the Big 12, why? Well, it'd be a better deal. If they decide to leave, why? Better deal. If Baylor or Texas Tech or Oklahoma State, who has been left behind, if they decide to stay in whatever the reconfigured Big 12 is, why? Well, it's the best deal for them. If they decide to go to the, I don't know, maybe the Big East gets resurrected as a football conference. And Texas Tech transfers to the Big East. You know what the Big East is going to be? West Virginia, Texas Tech, Boise, Utah State, all in the Big East. They're making the best deal for themselves. I told you, Boise did join the Big East back in the day. So it's always in college sports. A lot of times in your life, whatever your industry is, I remember last year when there are always bigger pictures, sure. Last year when sports started returning, well, it's just a cash grab. Making money's not evil, folks. Now, is it wise in this particular case, and who else are you affecting, and are you denying anyone else's earned chance? Yes, obviously. But who are you hurting here other than survival of the fittest? Well, you're going to damage, and I'm going to pick a school. You're going to damage Kansas State. Yeah, you will. There are adults on that campus who run the place. They get to make their decisions. And if Kansas State has not, over the last 130 years, earned their way to having brand enough, cachet enough to look at OU and Texas and go, we're not leaving, so if you leave, you will never play the Kansas State Wildcats again. If Kansas State or Iowa State or Oklahoma State or Texas Tech or Baylor or TCU or any of them, they haven't done their part for 130 years, where Texas and Oklahoma look around and go, we have. The reason I'm bringing this specific angle up, where Texas and OU have done their part and they've earned their brand and their cachet and their hand, their ability to move. And in this case, I'm saying Kansas State hasn't. It's a cash grab, folks. If OU and Texas were to stay in the Big 12, wouldn't that just be subsidizing Kansas State? Or they can maximize their own brand and go to the SEC. In some part, when you're at the top of the collective, you are subsidizing those below. That's Texas and OU. They're saying, wait a minute. See, the money coming in will be whatever the money is. Are we getting the return for who Oklahoma is? Oh, we're getting most of the return, but Kansas State is getting some too. Again, I ain't advocating. I'm just telling you what's going on in these meetings. I'm telling you that the money that OU and Texas, oh, it's just a cash grab. Yeah, their point is, and if we keep operating this way, we're taking money that should be ours, and we're giving it to Kansas State, and we're giving it to Baylor, and we're giving it to Iowa State. Why do you think Oklahoma State's looking around right now at the state legislature going, can y'all do anything? In the state of Texas, Texas A&M, they ain't got quite the pull that UT does. And so there won't even be any talk about, you know, keep them out. Well, no, wait a minute. We're talking about letting them in. And so you've got a situation in Texas where somebody's already in the conference and, well, keep them out. We don't want them. No, they're getting in. You don't have in Oklahoma? You've got one team just leaving. Yeah, we're not trying to get into your conference. We're trying to leave you behind because we've always known what you were. And then so you yell some derisive things at people from Oklahoma State. Leave you in our rear view. If OU and Texas continue to operate in the Big 12, this is the flip side of, well, they're just grabbing. It's a cash grab. Folks, it's their cash. The reason that money is on the table. We've been leaving money on the table. They've been leaving their money on the table. Every day that they're in the Big, and this is, I'm telling you, the conversation in Norman and downtown Austin. Every day we're in this conference, we may as well send checks to Lubbock, Waco, Norman, Stillwater, we're out of here. Go to the SEC. Now, again, it's going to take a little attitude adjustment. But they're saying, you know what? Instead of lifting the tide, where's the highest tide around already? And that's what OU and Texas are going to be doing going forward.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.